Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And now there does seem to be the threat, or certainly language, around the use of chemical warfare. This is very worrying. The question is it real? Is it just fear-mongering? We need to try and understand a little bit more about this. Professor Anna Maart van Wyk is professor in the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us so bright and early. How are you doing?
Good morning. Yes, thank you. I'm doing well.
How real is this threat of chemical warfare? You know, as people who are told, you know, we're consuming media all the time, how circumspect do we need to be? Is this real or is this fear-mongering?
Well, I do think one needs to be concerned about this for various reasons. And that is that Russia, for many years, especially during the Cold War, had a really big, you know, chemical and biological weapons program. And in some of the labs in Moscow, as with the you know, American lab in Atlanta, they do have some pathogens like the plague and that sort of thing that are kept in those labs. Russia, however, is a signatory of the Chemical Weapons Convention, and which is one of the most rigorous conventions in terms of arms control and disarmament, which means that they are subjected to continuous inspections, you know, under that convention. So according to what we know about the chemical warfare program in Russia, is that they don't have a large-scale chemical warfare program at the moment. There's been no indications in their labs that have been inspected. What is concerning, though, is that Russia, in the last few years, have used, in several instances, you know, they have used some chemical agents on individuals.
That's true.
But also on the and also on the Chechen rebels, you know, in 2002.
The war in Syria, where we know that chemical warfare was used, is that connected to Russia at all, or is that seen as purely a Syrian initiative?
Well, it's linked to Russia in the sense that that the Syrian president al-Assad is an ally of Russia. You know, and we've seen what was concerning about Syria is the fact that everybody knew that the government of Syria had chemical weapons.
It's true.
But it did come as a surprise in the end when they used it on the rebels. And I think that's the thing. Although we don't see large-scale movement, you know, of special units within Ukraine at the moment, of Russian units that would be moving a specific type of shell, you know, to do chemical warfare, it doesn't rule out the fact that Russia cannot use it on a small scale. What we are seeing is that Russia is currently being bogged down in the Ukraine. They're not quite reaching their military objectives that they went in with, and they are busy terrorizing the civil population of Ukraine. So for me, I won't rule out, you know, the use of chemical or biological weapons on a small scale in the Ukraine. On a large scale, I don't think Russia have a visible large-scale program at the moment, but they very definitely have a program for nerve gas, for example, Novichok, that they can use.
Right, and have used in the past. So, Professor, a question that's been bothering me, and you're probably in a great position to answer this, is to a large extent, I feel like we don't react to tyrants properly, because we find it unfathomable and unbelievable that anybody would do A, B, C, or D. In other words, we see Russia building up these troops outside of Ukraine, and we can't quite believe that they would simply march into another country. So we maybe use cognitive dissonance, or we say, no, it must be a show of force. They're posturing. They're, you know, like an elephant who's trumpeting and flapping its ears to show strength, but it's a mock charge. And I find that I do a lot of that, because I find it so unfathomable that people could be so cruel and evil as to use chemical warfare. And I think when we look back at history, and this is what I would like to ask you, is I feel like we've always fallen for this.
You are totally right. You know, over the past weeks, I've been thinking that this whole thing that is playing out in the Ukraine is for me just a repetition of what happened with Hitler just before the Second World War. I mean, we just don't learn from history. What did Hitler do? He went into Austria, annexed Austria. The world looked on and said, well,
Yeah,
Austria
it's
was pretty
German,
part
yeah.
of Germany, so let's have it. Let's just step back and see if they can't, can have any effect on this. Next thing, he marches into Czechoslovakia. Again, the UK just wanted to go into talks about that. Oh no, it's okay. He said if he can only get that region where the Germans are living. In the end, he invaded the entire Czechoslovakia, and there wasn't anything that was done about that. Then he marched into Poland, and suddenly the whole world woke up, and the UK declared war. But the harm was already done, in several other cases. And we're seeing a repetition of that for me in the Ukraine. Personally, I don't think Putin will stop with the Ukraine. I think he will, what he wants to do is to put another buffer between himself and Western Europe. And if he can succeed in the Ukraine, I think he will also look, at some of the other states that were previously the buffer between him and Western Europe. So he will look especially at the Balkans, which he has repeatedly said that those are not real republics. They are only republics because of the fall of the Soviet Union. So yeah, for me, it's history repeating itself, and I am a bit flabbergasted about the West not, for example, introducing a no-fly zone over the Ukraine, at least doing that. That they're just instituting sanctions the whole time. But it's not enough to stop Putin.
Why are they not introducing a no-fly zone?
That for me is a puzzle. I think they are still scared that Putin will see that as a provocation,
I mean,
and might
but
escalate the
this is
war.
exactly exa this is appeasement. This is Neville Chamberlain, as you've just said, all over again. We don't want
It's
to
all
provoke
over.
the beast.
Yes. And they are saying, I mean, both NATO and the United States have said that if Russia would use chemical or biological war, agents in the Ukraine, it would be a red line that they are crossing. Well, they said that in Russia also in 2013. The United States specifically said if you cross the red line, there will be consequences. What did they do in the end? Syria signed the Chemical Weapons Convention and said that they would destroy all of their chemical weapons, which they didn't, because just a couple of years ago there was another massive chemical weapons attack in Syria. So nothing came of that, red line, that proverbial red line. They crossed it, and there wasn't severe consequences for that. So yeah.
It's very, very frightening. So do you think that, well, the other problem as well is then there's always the proof, because so it chemical warfare gets used, but then we have to investigate it, and then we have to decide if it was, and then who was the one that actually launched it. And with misinformation and with red flag, with false flag events, this becomes almost, by the time we figured it all out, it's too late.
Yeah, and Russia is very definitely using the false flag argument at the moment. They're accusing the Ukraine of having, a military biological weapons program aided by the United States, and they would use that as a reason, to escalate the war in Ukraine. And in escalation, 2 weeks ago we talked about nuclear. I've changed my mind a little bit about Russia's potential to use nuclear warfare in the Ukraine. And precisely because they are not reaching their objectives in the way that they thought, they would quickly get that. We are going into the third week, and still, they are bogged down. And now they are starting to terrorize the population. So I think the whole thing around tactical nuclear weapons, I don't want to say that it's very possible that they can use that, but it is a possibility.
Very, very
Just as
frightening.
they can use chemical weapons on a small scale as well.
Very,
To escalate. Yeah.
absolutely. Professor Anna Mart van Wyk, a professor in the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg, bringing us a very sobering but very thought-provoking discussion on the potential use of chemical warfare in Ukraine and the region. It is 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.